Welcome to Integration Excellence, the podcast around enterprise integration and interface management. We explore topics related to integration in the SAP world and beyond. My name is Adam Kivon. I'm an SAP integration expert, book author, trainer, and founder of White Paper Interface Design. Enjoy. Yeah, welcome to another episode of Integration Excellence. And we are back again with Sebastian and Adam. Hello. Here after a long break. I had a call recently with some potential customers, and then they were like, we know the podcast. And the last question was, when is the next episode? So it was
That's
quite
good. That's quite long funny. Time no see.
Yeah. And no show. Finally, we are back. Yeah. So how have you been, Sebastian?
Oh, I'm good right now. So it's a long time we didn't record a show. Many things happened in this time. I was on summer vacation. So we went to Yellowstone right after our Aviators Germany event. So I guess we can talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Yellowstone is crazy cool. So I can recommend this park to everyone who can do this to this amazing national park. So it was very, very nice. So we stayed there for 5 weeks. Wow. So to come down, and yeah, it was very cool with the family and very good time there. Yeah. And we saw a lot of wildlife, grizzly bears, black bears. So, so crazy what we have seen there. Volcanoes, geysers. So that's crazy. Yeah.
Nice.
And the environmental changes there are amazing. Wow. So that was good. So, you went to vacation too, Adam? Or?
Yeah, I had two trips. One trip was just with my son. We went to Japan. Cool. The father-son trip was quite funny. It's been planned for a while. So we went mainly to Tokyo and Kyoto, and then also did a hike on the Fuji. So it was really cool.
That's cool.
Doing this experience and also, you know, enjoying the city life, and also the more traditional part of Tokyo, of Kyoto. Was really cool, was really nice. And then, yeah, another trip with the entire family to Norway with a caravan. And then lots cool. of, you know, nature as well, lots of fishing. You know, my sons are very much into fishing, so we had fish every night, so it was really good.
Well, that's good. It's healthy.
Successful, yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah, was good time to recharge and spend some time in nature. It's always helpful. Yeah,
that sounds good. So, and you learned some Japanese or some Japanese words?
Not so much. I was in Japan 2014 a couple of times for business reasons. Mm-hmm. So it was like a small comeback, and but yeah, it's not easy to learn, and I didn't really try.
Oh, okay. I think it's hard to learn. That's good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and the last time we saw us was on the Aviators Germany event in Hamburg.
In Hamburg, yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was really good. It was a good event with a lot of speakers and a lot of you know, news and announcements after the Integrate, right?
Yeah, right. So yeah, we started the Aviators event right after the Integrate, which was in London. And yeah, after the Aviators event, I went through vacation. So the next day I was off. but the event was great. As you said, we had a great audience with great speakers. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of news. And yeah, it was a great event the whole day. Yeah. So the whole week with Integrate, I was in London. I presented a topic about SAP integration with Logic Apps. So that was very cool. So the whole week was fully planned and yeah, was very, very busy, but it was very fun. And nice. Yeah, was a very good event very afterwards. Good. Yeah.
So the entire week completely in the Microsoft world. The speeches were sometimes very going towards, you know, very deep dive into the details of the Microsoft Azure world. Mm-hmm. Some also more strategic and high level. And it was also interesting for me, not being, you know, an expert in this area. Following some of this was really cool. And,
A lot of that's good to hear.
Developments as well to see. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So right now we are planning for next year. So maybe we can put a link into the show description then.
Yes.
For the audience here. Yeah. Definitely. And on vacation there or in July, there's a very exciting time for MVPs, because in July there the renewals will be announced. And so I got my renewal as well. So for one other year, I'm renewed as a Microsoft MVP. So was very happy about that. Yeah.
Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. That's it's good. Good feeling.
Great. Yeah. Great. Cool.
Yeah. So, and then 2 months are over and now we are here after the summer break.
Yeah, and then we thought about what news can we share, what happened in the meantime, which is maybe, you know, it's been a while, but at the same time, it's been not super busy with a lot of announcements. You know, there was an update about the SAP integration strategy document, which we might be, we can also share this in the show notes. And then also, you know, when it comes to SAP and integration and architecture, it always goes towards, you know, clean core, what is clean, what is not. And I think there is a quite interesting note that was released as well in terms of, for example, IDOCs, IDOC usage, which is still around. And then SAP kind of, you know, used to try to make them obsolete, but now they are back in the game somehow, and they are again treated as kind of clean.
So because many companies are using IDOCs, so this is the fundamental.
And sometimes the question is, what is the value of changing that, as it used to work well, and it still keeps on working well in S/4HANA. And even you can address it as an async SOAP API. So there is no real reason why to really remove them from the landscape. So that was a quite good information. But also there was a new adapter on SAP Cloud Integration connecting to the GenAI Hub, to the SAP AI Core. That has been announced, which is kind of a, you know, accelerator. Yeah. So you could have been using this also by yourself, using the classical HTTP adapters, but now it's a bit more convenient and easier to connect. And it shows also a little bit the commitment from SAP that, you know, this is kind of on their radar and, you know, following the SAP strategy towards AI topics as well. So.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think it's an important move.
Definitely. And this is where, you know, Microsoft is there already since a while in this whole thing around AI, especially in the latest since the big partnership with OpenAI.
Yeah, absolutely. So they are highly investing in this area. So maybe I can share some news from Microsoft side there. So when we are in the AI space, API Center, we will come later. What API Center is exactly, can now act as a MCP registry. So when you have your MCP server, you can register it into API Center, and then from API Center, you can consume it in your applications or, for example, in your integrations from one central point. So this is one thing which is newly released. And other things around logic apps are that hybrid logic apps is now general available. For those who don't know what hybrid logic apps is, hybrid logic apps is the offering that you can run logic apps in your private environment. So that means on-prem, for example. And it's the pendant to the edge integration set. So when you have your private environment and you want your integration nearby your systems, like because of data governance or data protection, then it's also possible to have your logic apps in your on-prem environment, and then you can run your integration directly in this environment as well. And the next thing is that,
maybe one question to
absolutely. So
is it also running in a Kubernetes cluster?
Yeah.
Then so similar setup, similar
technology. Yeah, from a technical perspective, it's very similar to the edge integration cell. So you at least you need Kubernetes. Mm-hmm. You can run an Azure Kubernetes service on Arc. So Arc is the technology which combines the cloud with the on-prem components, or you can run K3S. I think K3S from Rancher, right? So this is also possible to run logic apps in such a Kubernetes cluster.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. And from cost perspective is that you will be charged for the virtual CPUs in your cluster. And then you can run the whole bunch of stuff inside of this Kubernetes cluster.
So like a classical licensing model, right?
I think so. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. I think in edge integration cell, so maybe a quick look up there. I think you need to pay 50% of the message consumption there. And this is something that you do not need to charge on, or you will not be charged on the Microsoft side for messages. So it's only the virtual CPUs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. And the last thing is that Logic App now is a platform where you can use low code and also pro code right now. Mm. So this is in a preview state right now. But you can use you can now use pro code to code your workflows. So this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So especially for developer who want to write code, or developer who already has some code and they want to migrate it to Logic App, then they can reuse those code and bring it to the Logic App container. Yeah,
but what then is the difference towards functions? Mm-hmm. You compare them.
Yeah, to compare them, Azure Functions. So the Logic App Codeful style is based on durable functions, and the advantage here is that you can use the connectors which Logic Apps has built in. So there are 1,400 connectors to connect to SAP. Connect to Salesforce, ServiceNow, you name it. Mm. And you can use it from code directly in the Codeful Logic Apps. Mm. So you do not have to write your own infrastructure code to connect to those systems, which you need to do when you are using Azure Functions.
Mm. Okay. Ah, okay. Nice.
So, and you can run it on the same app service. So you have the same experience for your Logic Apps. And it doesn't care if this is a low code, so from a designer perspective, or you run a pro code or a codeful workflow. Mm-hmm. It's called a codeful workflow then.
Codeful. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Cool. Wow.
Yeah. So you see a lot happened on Microsoft side as well.
Nice. Nice. We should come back to this because, our next topic or our deep dive topic today is basically a comparison of the stacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did already some comparison, with regards to the private or on-prem runtime.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is also quite interesting and relevant when we compare who's covering what. And what I see right now is at least spontaneously, that if you compare directly Integration Suite with Azure Integration Services,
mm-hmm.
there is no Codeful or Pro Code component available in Integration Suite, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah. I think when you need to write code, then you need to deploy a service on BTP, right? And then you can consume it from Integration Suite. Mm. And yeah, in, yeah, when we compare it to Microsoft, you have several options. So you can have Azure Functions, for example, where you can have your business logic, but you can also have your business logic inside of the Logic App workflow itself. So it also allows you to run .NET 8 code or .NET 4.7. So this is very interesting for BizTalk migration. When you have a lot of BizTalk code, then you can run it inside of this Logic App directly without having a dependency to an Azure function. So this is possible where you can place your code. But yeah, I only know from Integration Suite that you can have Groovy, so which is a style of Java, so to say, where you can provide some code snippets. But it's not known to me that you can run full applications inside of Integration Suite.
No, it's not. I mean, there are, developers or integration developers who are using it really like that, because usually you are in a low code environment. Yeah. You use the BPMN style. You use the graphical flow and also the visualization of the processing of the steps. But in the worst case, you can just place a script, Groovy or JavaScript, and then execute the script, and all the logic, all the, cases, all the transformations, everything that happens in there can be done in there. And even the outside communication can be programmed from a script. Yeah. So you could even make HTTP calls or whatever from such a script and build it all into this. So definitely not recommended. And then always encourage people to say, look, even if you can do it, don't do it, because code is much harder to maintain and to share with other people than graphically based code, which can be also complex, also hard to get, but at least it's not as hard as just code. And my personal experience is sometimes if you have a really good developer who is able to really write very lean, very great code, which is very abbreviated, let's say. It's even harder for someone who gets into the topic to really follow and understand what has been
absolutely
done.
But on the other side, low code comes or will come very or will be complex at some times when you have so to say, you have many rules, you have many actions, you have many conditions, then low code is very hard to maintain. And then sometimes it's easier to write 3 to 4 or 5 lines of code and then reuse it in all your integrations. And then the integration flow from a designer perspective is much more leaner and cleaner and more easily to read for other people. So I guess sometimes it makes sense to write some code, which makes the whole integration much more readable and easier to maintain. So, and I guess there are some advantages on Microsoft side because it's already built in the platform, and you can also choose the programming platform. So because Azure Functions, you can write C# or you can use C# to write Azure Functions. You can use Java, you can use Python, you can also use PowerShell to create Azure Functions. And then you can consume this Azure Functions from Logic Apps directly. And Logic Apps also comes with a capability that you, like the iFlows, you can execute inline code inside of your workflow. So this is also JavaScript or C# script, which can run directly from the code itself, from the workflow itself. Sorry. And then you do not have any dependencies to any other services then.
Nice. Yeah. So we are already in the middle of the, you know, comparison, right?
Yeah.
but maybe before we really dive in, let's maybe take a quick step back and maybe collect what services we have and how they are compared. So we have already identified that, you know, when you have Azure functions, there is no real equivalent within Integration Suite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because functions belong to integration services and applications you can build and run on the BTP stack are kind of outside of Integration Suite, right? So this is the CAP programming model or even RAP with ABAP. But those are outside of the Integration Suite itself. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So this we can already say, and they are also following other criteria, but similar things can be done on the stacks, on the platforms. But just comparing the integration components, you have functions on Azure side and no equivalent on SAP.
On the SAP, yeah. So, but maybe we need to step one step out. So I guess, as you said, Integration Suite is a product bundle, right? So it is a product which is maintained by SAP, and it contains all the things, iFlows and API management and all this stuff. And on the other side, on Microsoft, it's not a bundled thing. So Azure Integration Services, it's only a name for existing services on the platform. Mm-hmm. So it's logic apps, it's function apps, it's API management, it's Event Grid, Service Bus, and Data Factory. And you can use the services or you cannot use the services. So it's not a product bundle that you need to install on your Azure tenant. So you can select all the services you need for your business problems or for your integration needs.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, SAP ships you a product which is well integrated and well combined in an environment.
Yeah, and at the same time, if you are only interested in, I don't know, cloud integration along with Event Mesh maybe, and you don't care about API management, it's still there, right? And then you cannot deselect it or... you kind of pay for it even though you're not using it, right?
Yeah absolutely. So and this is what I think it's an advantage and also a disadvantage, because when it compares to Microsoft, so I think the disadvantage on the Microsoft side is that you need to know or you need to have knowledge in all the services to combine it together and to conquer all these and command all these services together.
Mm-hmm.
And on the SAP side, I think this is an advantage. It's a product, it's bundled together, it's well integrated together, and it feels like a product. And this is not on the Microsoft side.
True. Yeah. And maybe there is even an exception. I think at least for cloud integration, you really can use a very lean version of Integration Suite that only contains cloud integration as a component, which is then much less expensive than the entire tenant you pay for. But this is already the cost perspective of it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we will come later to the cost perspective as well. So we talked about the Azure Functions. So this is the business logic component where you can write code. But I guess for the integration developers, I think more important is the capability to model business processes or create orchestrations. And we already talked about on the Microsoft side, there's logic apps. And with logic apps, you can create workflows, you can create orchestrations in a visual way. So you have you have your canvas. You can use, for example, the Azure portal to create workflows, but you can also use Visual Studio Code when you want to code or when you have your local development environment, then you can use Visual Studio Code to design your Logic App workflows. Mm-hmm. And as we said in the introduction, now it's also possible to create it in a codeful way. So, but this is in a preview state right now. So right now, the visual way is the way to go right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe it's a good, also a good comparison here, because, when we think about the equivalent of Logic Apps, we think about SAP Cloud Integration or Cloud Integration as part of the integration suite. Sometimes, also on the product roadmap, SAP uses the term process integration for cloud integration, funnily, which is like, you know, sounds like PI, but it is kind of the, you know, the orchestration component of the integration suite, right? Mm-hmm. It allows you also to, in the low code way, do things. And the big difference here is, I think, that everything is exclusively available only in the browser. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the only way to model iFlows and also APIs within Integration Suite, especially in cloud integration, is done only through the browser. In the past, mm-hmm. there used to be Eclipse as well as an IDE to do this. Yeah. But SAP decided against it in the future. So now everything is done, except maybe adapter development. Yeah. Where you can build your own adapters, but all the iFlow API development is done in the browser. And I think mm-hmm. that's, you know, hardcore programmers might not enjoy that, which are, you know, thinking about, you know, pull requests, GitHub, commits and stuff like that. This is the new normal for software development, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in SAP Integration Suite, it's a bit more proprietary, right? In terms of managing code, managing sources, approving and then transporting and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Okay. But because SAP has its own transportation system, right?
Yeah. And I think maybe also because they didn't want to, you know, maybe they didn't want to have, you know, customers following this path of knowing how to do that, how to manage Git and so on. Just saying, okay, look, you can just, you know, save, activate, deploy, export, import.
The pirate. Yeah.
So, you know, and then also with the goal to give this to, citizen integrators, right? Citizen developers in the integration space who are not really, you know, experts in that area, but they can follow a guideline. They can follow a script, what to do. And then it's not hard, to do the clicks and then to make an iFlow run. If you need Git, knowledge, of a developer, it's different, right? You cannot give
this to everyone. Yeah, it's a complete. It's different. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you have Visual Studio Code, there is an extension which is called Azure Logic App Standard, mm-hmm. and then you are able to install it, and it automatically installs all the dependencies. So it helps you a lot with setting up your development environment. So it's just one click, and then you are good to go. Then you have the visual designer in your local environment, and you can run this Logic Apps locally, so you can test it. There's also an automated testing framework included. So from existing runs, you can create unit tests, and then you can automate the tests. And then you have your pipelines where you can run these tests for a quality gate or for quality checks and so on. So this is the advantage with Git then. If you have your pipelines, then you can do a lot more stuff with it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And yeah, so it relates heavily to Git. And if you are using a GitHub, GitLab or Azure DevOps, it doesn't matter. It's Git. And then, yeah, you commit your changes and then it will automatically be deployed by pipelines. So this is the way to go on the Microsoft side.
Wow.
When it comes to transport management.
Yeah. So this is a huge, huge advantage against SAP, right? So automatic testing environment and all this, you know, ecosystem around, you know, source management and deployment is let's say much more up to the expectations of today's world, right?
Absolutely. A tracking of code changes, for example, it's also included in Git. So you do not have to care about that.
Yeah. The funny thing is SAP doesn't really, at least not that I know, invest in this. They have provided a testing tool for PO in the very, very lately. Yeah. Like right before it was announced to be deprecated, you know, or to get the sunset. And I never saw anything for integration suite, like this automatic testing environment. They have two partners, which they are working with also for the migration towards the cloud, but not really, we are not really seeing. So we are also seeing some open source projects, but not really an approach from SAP into that sense, and that's already a big differentiator.
Absolutely. But let's see what the future will bring.
That's
good. So so we talked about business logic and the orchestrator. What about data mapping? I think this is very important when it comes to integration. So we need to map from one contract to another contract. Mm. Or is it also in the browser? Yeah, for sure, because development is completely in browser, right?
Yeah, so there are different ways. I mean, we already mentioned Groovy, right? So you can have your transformation programmed in a Groovy script. And, you know, for example, going from JSON to JSON is super cool and super easy in Groovy, even producing XML. Parsing and working on an XML is not so cool, but also works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you have rather XML to XML stuff, you still would go for XSLT as a runtime. I guess the same. It's available in Logic apps. But what you, I think, mean with Data Mapper is this, you know, there is a proprietary tooling that was built and made available in SAP PIPO and now was kind of, you know, transformed also or lifted up into the cloud, or cloud integration, which is the message mappings, which are also meanwhile reusable and you can use them in multiple integration flows, they are heavily optimized for also big messages or bigger messages you can handle with it, but it's a proprietary approach, with a graphical drag and drop way, and then also functions you can insert in between, to manipulate the data or to, you know, play around with the context and or to fetch the data. Mm-hmm. So that is, but that is also, in the browser and running with browser controls, and it's not so bad, you know. It's meanwhile quite good to work with. And I don't really see here, a need for improvement or a need for another development environment.
Oh, that sounds good. On the Microsoft side, you cannot use the data mapper inside of the browser. For this, you need the Visual Studio Code extension. So you can only use the data mapper in Visual Studio Code, but the data mapper is really cool. It's a graphical mapper, and you can map from XML to JSON or JSON to XML, which is supported by the graphical mapper. And it's not super fancy. It's from left to right, and you can drag and drop on the fields. But you can also include functions with string concatenation, the current date. So there are some very helpful helper. Available there, and then you can also drag and drop. So it's very straightforward. So it's not a steep learning curve to use this graphical mapper. It's very intuitive to use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the end, then you will have an XSLT, which comes out, or which is the export then or which is the artifact from the graphical mapper. Mm-hmm. And then you can reuse this XSLT in your Logic App workflow, for example. Then you have this transform XML actions, and then you can specify the map, and then you have the output. And the graphical mapper also has the capability to unit test your map. So you can specify your input, then you click test, and then you see directly the output. And then you can justify all the elements. It's very smooth, it's very fast. So this is very important for developers that it is fast.
The testing part of the message mapping, and also the testing part of such a graphical iFlow, when you can run simulations, that is still not so super cool and so
fast. Okay.
So that, you know, makes the round trips, and then, you know, the browser based integration is not that optimized, so it takes a while, you know, until it loads and so on. And those are terrible seconds you are waiting for until you can get it done. But
But if you have already XSLT in place, then you can reuse it. Then you do not need to use the graphical mapper. So it's especially for when you are migrating from maybe BizTalk, then you can reuse the XSLTs directly in Logic Apps.
Same for PI to cloud integration transformations, right? You can not only reuse the XSLTs, but also the message mappings, which are from a runtime perspective, those are Java archives, which are generating.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not really generating XSLT here. And meanwhile, they can also do JSON to JSON, XML to XML, XML to JSON, vice versa.
So,
which is quite quite powerful.
Quite good. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the amount of adapters and connectivity options, I think they are quite comparable. There is also, for both, there is an ecosystem of partner, you know, content available as well. Not everything is built by Microsoft or SAP, right?
Yeah, some that's right.
Are added.
I think especially when you are talking about a content, I think there's an advantage on SAP side, because SAP also, when it comes to iFlows, message mappings and all this stuff, message types and so on, then you have this predefined content on the SAP side, where you have fully functional business integrations already ready to go, where you only need to configure when you want, but you do not need to. You can use it in your own tenant, and then you're good to go. So that means you do not have to start on or with a blank canvas. You can you can copy the predefined content, and then you can go integration in a minute.
Plug and play, right?
Absolutely.
That's the promise, and it works.
On Logic App side, you have some templates, but they are not. You need to configure this templates, but this is not a whole business process. So the predefined content will give you more value out of it. So I think this is a big advantage for SAP. I think it's a big win for SAP.
I think for many SAP customers, it's really a no-brainer having integration suite. The question is always like, you know, do you manage everything with it, or do you have to have a second or third stack in parallel, right? Depending also on the size and on the strategy. But I wouldn't even know how to do integration with Elster in Germany, right? For text declaration or you know, employee notification submissions, or how is it called, for HR. This is an entirely complex thing that, you know, you cannot easily connect to the Elster APIs by yourself, right? So this is completely taken and managed by SAP, which is great. But also other content, like the interaction between the SAP components is managed through standard content. And also, meanwhile, the connection to other you know, applications like ServiceNow, Salesforce, Workday, and many others. You know, there is standard content, not only adapters, technical connectivity adapters, but also predefined, completely fully working standard content that might be adapted and enhanced. You know, for the, let's say, vanilla scenarios, it works.
Absolutely. And I think especially when you want to integrate from SAP to SAP, for example, SuccessFactors to your S4 HANA system or so, then I think it's so fast with this predefined content because, it's the standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy cool. Yeah. And I think you can also get, for the next component, I guess, API management. So we have API management on the Azure side. We also have API management on the SAP side. And then you will also get predefined content with API policies and so on, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of policies that are predefined, but I think it's similar with Azure, no? That you also have some, you know, at least technical policies that are around it, like for authentication checks and also for value maps and all the stuff.
Yeah.
Very comparable.
Yeah, that's right. You have policy snippets on the Microsoft side, but you need to combine it by yourself. And on the SAP side, when you have this predefined API management pipeline, then it contains all the policies you need for this scenario. Mm. And on Microsoft side, you need to pick all your policies and then combine it by yourself to a process in the pipeline. So I think it's comparable, but on the SAP side, it's easier to use because it's predefined as well. Mm. And then you need to configure your pipelines there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think they are very similar, so you can host all your APIs and your API management on SAP side can also act as an API gateway so that you only have one address where you can put all your iFlows or your BTP services, your CAP, RAP, you name it, then you can host it there. And but if you want to combine, so for example, we already talked about if you have API management on a Microsoft side, and you also have your API management on SAP side. Microsoft offers a service where you can combine all APIs to one API center, and then everyone in the organization can view which APIs are available. So, and I already said it, it's called API Center, and the API Center is your whole API catalog. From all API managements and all API services you have in your organization. Regardless if this is running in AWS or Google Cloud, you can combine it to everything to have it in API Center.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great for discovery. Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially if you have to build another application, right? And then you want to see where is my API. You have
absolutely.
Catalog, right?
Yeah.
And don't have to go through all the portals where it might be, right? In the Kongs and then wherever they might be hidden. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's pretty good. More efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. And then maybe for looking at components like integration advisor and trading partner management, they kind of are depending on cloud integration as a runtime. So you can also see them as an extension to cloud integration. But you know, one is you know, integration advisor is just for, especially for B2B messaging. It defines what message types are used and how they are configured, maybe according to EDIFACT or X12 or whatever standard in place. Also the mappings, to and from SAP objects like IDOCs or SOAP APIs. And also the trading partner management to, you know, organize the entire AS2-based communication or SFTP or whatever you connect with your EDIFACT partners, right? Mm-hmm. There is a similar component as well in I think it belongs to Logic Apps, no?
Yeah, right. It belongs to Logic Apps. So there's no integration advisor, So which is more of an automatically approach of mappings and so on. So this is not available in on the Microsoft side. But when you are using Logic Apps, you can have your integration account. The integration account holds all your certificates, your maps, your partner agreements, and so on. So this is the place where you configure, using Edifact, using X12. This is exactly what you said, possible with the integration account on the Microsoft side in combination with Logic Apps, which is then the runtime. So what a TPM relates on iFlows is integration account relates to Logic Apps workflows.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But then it's also on a granularity level a bit deeper, right? So it's a bit more fine granular. Yeah. You have to then you can pick all the components of the accounts in your own Logic App, right? In your own workflow. And you have to model everything by yourself, right? From incoming AS2 Edifact message, then transforming it, unpacking it, getting the IDs and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
The IDOC into SAP, whereas the idea of TPM is like, you know, you configure everything, then you let the mapping components generate by the integration advisor, and then it's all configuration only, and then, you know, some generic iFlows are executing all the magic behind. So
this is not it's not right now available in Azure.
Okay Yeah, but the question is whether it's if people personally like this approach or not. It's there for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's a philosophy by itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
What is next? Brokers, right?
Yeah, I think broker. It's very important for asynchronous messaging and so on. So, and especially when it comes to messaging, it's there's a broad family in Azure, and especially Event Grid, which is for eventing. And then we have the Service Bus, which is for enterprise messaging. And I think here we have two services, and I guess on the SAP side, it's one service, which belongs to eventing and messaging, right?
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, there are maybe two flavors of it. There is an inbuilt event mesh component within Integration Suite, right? That is kind of a publish and subscribe approach to incoming messages, and then distributing them to receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then a more powerful approach with a fancy name, Advanced Event Mesh, but kind of also separate with a separate license. So it's not really part of the Integration Suite, but at the same time, it always is always mentioned along with the Integration Suite. So, but it's a separate licensing. So we shouldn't deep dive into it right now. So let's just focus on the simple event mesh. But comparing both, you're right. It's more separated and segregated for a good reason in Azure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to eventing, you can have PubSub, for example. So you can push an event to Event Grid, and then you can have multiple subscribers, which then gets the information. And Event Grid now supports also to be an MQTT broker, an MQTT server and client. So this is very cool when it comes to IoT. Then you can use Event Grid as well. And it also supports namespaces, which is very important for IoT scenarios. And when you want to have queuing and PubSub or a topic, multiple subscribers, so PubSub in messaging, then you are good with the Service Bus because it supports you with queuing, so one by one messaging, and also with this PubSub, so one to many messaging is also possible.
Cool. Nice. Very good.
Yeah, that's nice. And Yeah, the last component from Azure Integration Services is a data factory, and a data factory is a service which handles big data. So this is when it comes to heavy loads, ETL, ELT jobs, then you are good to go with data factory, because Logic Apps is not that good when it comes to big loads. So it's not designed to handle big loads of data. Mm. It's more of process data in small chunks. And when it comes to heavy loads, then you're good to go with data factory.
And when we look at integration suite, we would have to say there is nothing with an integration suite for that component, but there is another component outside of integration suite again. Which is for whatever, you know, internal SAP reason handled completely outside. It's SAP DataSphere, right? Mm-hmm. Which is more analytics oriented, BW oriented, and as well managing high loads of data. And doing a lot of, you can do a lot of things within, but it follows the same principles, I would say. You can handle big data and then especially analytics data, towards data lakes and then integration with larger messages, big volumes and all this stuff.
I understand.
It's handled completely separate, and there is even no real coexistency between components outside of the within the integration suite and data sphere.
Okay.
From a department point of view, it's handled oftentimes not by the integration team, but rather by the BW or analytics team. Least in the SAP world.
It's the data platform. It's exactly the same here. You can use Data Factory to move all this data, to write this in databases, in data lakes. And when it comes to analytics, then there is the Databricks service in Azure, where you can run all this notebooks and stuff, what engineers or the data engineers then do. And I think this is a good thing, because then you can combine what we already said. You can combine all the services seamlessly together to have a better experience when it comes to all this integration and data platform tasks. And as we said in the introduction, what you do not need to provision in your Azure tenant. You can choose what you need. And this is exactly what Azure Integration Services are doing here with these services. And I think there's nothing more on SAP, right? In the integration suite. Sure, more on SAP side, but on the integration suite side.
Apart from, I would say, there is maybe two assessment components that are not really runtime components. So it's not really fair to mention them as integration capabilities, but there is one migration assessment. So to enable or accelerate the migration from PO to cloud integration. And also to analyze the PO landscape and so on. So it's quite useful for such projects. And then the integration assessment, which is kind of based on ISAM, the integration solution advisory methodology, where you can make also, technology decisions based on capabilities, requirement, collections, and so on. And then you, at the end, get out the result. But it's not a real integration capability. It helps maybe the governance and the integration strategy enforcement, but I wouldn't expect to see a comparable component anywhere else.
I don't think so, because it's a methodology which comes from SAP, right? So,
And covering also non-SAP, so you have to also, you can put in all your stacks and then everything you can, maybe even your Azure, but also your Kafka, your MuleSoft, everything you have in the landscape, and then you characterize it, and then you can create a requirement, integration requirement, and then you click through some questions you can configure, and then at the end you get a recommendation like, okay, for this scenario you use a Logic app, for that scenario you use Azure API management along with I don't know, SAP integration suite event mesh, something like that, you know.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Yeah,
but at the same time, reality shows that it's hard to configure, quite quite hard. And then the decision criteria are quite overlapping and difficult to manage. So you should be very, very clear and very strict in what you want and what you how you segregate. And sometimes soft factors, as you know, skill set, availability of consultants, organizational setup, and all the things are also influencing your tech decision. Yeah, timelines. So it's not always that you are using or going for the most beautiful tech approach, but sometimes you just go pragmatically for, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What you said, skills, knowledge, pricing, maybe also a criteria when it comes to select the right approach.
That's a good
transition.
Pricing, when we compare the cost of both platforms, right? It's definitely difficult, right?
It's difficult because it like the consultants say, it depends what you want to use, what you want to have on your platform. So as I said, when it comes to Azure Integration Service, you can select which service you need for your integration problems or your integration needs. And then it also depends which tier. So it each service comes in a different tier, especially when it comes to Service Bus, for example. You can run Service Bus with €20 a month or with €600 a month. So that's exactly what your needs then are. So if you need geo replication and so on, then you are in the premium space of Service Bus, and then you pay for premium as well. It's the same for Logic apps. Logic apps are shipped with three app service plans, WS1 to WS3, which also increasing the price. But there's also a special thing, which is called the app service environment. So the app service environment is more a dedicated computing plan, and which is much more pricier than the WS plans. So this is exactly what makes the price at the end of the month. And you pay for EventGrid, you also pay for functions if you're using it. And but in sum, we see it at our customers, in sum or in total, it's mostly cheaper than the base price from SAP, because you know it, it depends what you want to have also on SAP side. But from a price perspective, I think Microsoft has an advantage here.
I can see that. I mean, you come with a very, not very, but with a quite, existing or prominent price about, the monthly fee. It's I don't know where it is exactly, but the last time I looked at it, it was around €4,600 per tenant, independent from the usage. So be it development, quality, pre-production or production. Yeah. So it always has the same availability and pricing. Yeah. And it comes with 10,000 messages included. Yeah. So if you exceed the 10,000 messages per month, you pay more. And then the model is basically based on the fact that you're paying volume based. And that makes it somehow difficult, because people start to think about, but if I put this through integration suite, I will pay more, the more traffic I have. And then they think about point-to-point solutions again, which is bad. So at the same time, it's not a lot, So if you think of it per message at the end, it's really not much. It's quite, I mean, the first 10,000, obviously, yes, But then above that, it's I wouldn't say close to zero, but it is almost non-existing, you know, for the budget. You have to really reach millions of traffic to have it. That, I mean, really. So it's more of a, you know, quite high base fee per month compared to a quite low base fee on Azure, which enables you to start small, right, and grow with your needs. So
absolutely,
you can also grow in Azure. Depending when you have millions of messages, you need to have more instances, right?
Right.
For the traffic.
Yeah.
So it is also growing with your traffic, but you can start very small, and with cloud integration or with integration suite, you have to make a very early decision for a quite high price tag.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. On Azure, you only need to pay for the compute and the memory, and it doesn't care how many messages you are throwing through your integration platform then. So this, yeah, it can be one. It can be 1 million, so you name it. But you need to not to pay for the messages count. You only need for the compute and the memory. That's exactly.
Is it elastic then? That means, is it automatically adding another instance if you increase the traffic?
It supports autoscaling, but you can also define your own rules when it should scale for you. Oh. And then you can also configure the max scale out. So how many instances are allowed at the max? And you can also specify the min count of instances. So then you can ensure that every time two instances are running to a max of 10, for example, then yeah, it ensures that it automatically scales in this range.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
But there it's also easy to, for example, you buy the basic tier at SAP. Is it easy to go to the next tier, or is it a complete redeployment of all artifacts then? Do you know that?
You mean from one tenant to another?
Yeah. For example, you start small and then you recognize, oh, that's not enough for me. I need to go to the next tier, for example, from basic to standard tier. I don't know exactly the naming right now. Is it a smooth transition, or is it a completely redeployment?
No. You have only one type of tenant. Yeah. For example, for your production environment, you have only one tenant, and then whether you use the 10,000 messages or not doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then it scales internally up depending on your traffic. So you increase the traffic, let's say from 10,000 to 100K. 2 million, and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it is internally adding up some runtime server nodes, but this you don't care because you're paying for the traffic, but the environment stays the same. Let's say the runtime, everything remains the same, but it's scaling horizontally with additional runtime server nodes.
So it's not that easy to transition to next tier then. So,
well, there is no next tier because there is always one. There is always the same.
You need to provision a new tenant, and then you need to, when you want to have a new one which is bigger and faster and more messages and so on, when you decide to go to enterprise tier, for example, then you need to create a new tenant.
Well, as I said, there is only one tier. You have no choice. You cannot really change. The only thing is, you might have decided that, you know, after, I don't know, there is somewhere kind of hard limitation per tenant. Maybe, I don't know, it's maybe 20 million messages or so per month. Then SAP also starts recommending to use a second tenant, a second production environment. So to segregate the load. And then not having everything relying on one platform.
But
then it's really a transport mechanism, a transition really to export import from one tenant to another.
But then it's more important to have wisely chosen the right tenant or the tier of the tenant.
Yeah. For most of the companies I know, at least, and there are huge companies, they're good with one tenant that is heavily equipped internally. But yeah, at least I know one customer that had to switch to a second one for
Okay. reasons. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of information, right?
So. Maybe, I don't know. I checked through my list if we have covered everything. I mean, skill set is also an important factor, right? I mean, we touched that briefly. Also, you know, what type of stuff you have internally or what kind of people you might be able to, hire externally. But in general, I think most of the topics we have seen. So the good old question, when to use what? I think it's also, there is a good rule of thumb, I would say. Most of the cases, when you are close to SAP or doing SAP to SAP stuff, and if you have both platforms in use, it's easy to say using SAP. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that Azure cannot communicate with SAP, right? They are good SAP adapters. Mm-hmm. So there is no need actually to always go through SAP Integration Suite when connecting to SAP systems. Yeah, so
that's right. Yeah, that's as you said, it's also possible to connect to SAP from Azure. That's also possible. And it's also possible to connect from SAP Integration Suite to, for example, Dynamics. So this is also possible. So yes. If you are heavily in the Microsoft space and you need to integrate, for example, your S4 with Dynamics, then it's also possible to use SAP Integration Suite as well. Yeah. So yeah, as you said, it depends heavily on the skills in the company. There are only SAP people, then it makes more sense maybe to go with SAP Integration Suite when there are more Microsoft people which are known with the tools, then it makes more sense to go with Azure Integration Services. But yeah. We also have seen, as you said, they are using both platforms and then they choose wisely which use case makes more sense on Azure Integration Service or which use case makes more sense on the SAP Integration Suite. Yeah. And you can also combine it together. So you have all possibilities to do it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's even smart to have a segregation of duties. Yeah. Having both platforms in place and then
absolutely
having a kind of technical interface between a Logic App and an iFlow.
Yeah.
On Integration Suite. And then, organizing it like this, although the less integration components you have, the better usually, right? But in general, I think one of the biggest differentiators is for sure the standard content, right?
Predefined content, absolutely. We pointed already out, so this is a huge point for SAP. And on the other side, maybe the pricing can be an advantage for Microsoft.
And maybe also the more fine granular opportunities you have to set up things on Azure, right? So you can influence more and decide on more things. Of course, you need to have the knowledge, but there are more things you can decide by yourself instead of having things being on a kind of autopilot mode in the SAP world.
That's right,
With all pros and cons, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it with all pros and cons, absolutely, And cool. But both platforms are very exciting to see what happens in the future. So, two very important platforms.
Definitely. And I see them as the major ones, even though there is a third platform, trying to squeeze in here and there. And they are super strong with the Salesforce bundle.
Yeah.
I recently learned that they give it away for free, MuleSoft, for a new Salesforce customer for a couple of years.
Okay.
Just to you know,
bring it into the market.
Yeah, no, you enter the market, you stick to it, and then you have no choice than paying the price, which is far beyond the SAP price. So if you think SAP here is expensive, oh my God.
This no. is, okay, yeah.
And then making such integration decisions is very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, they are also, again, very powerful, and it's still a reasonable product. And maybe we have another session around MuleSoft versus SAP and Microsoft one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Then let's call it a day and going to the next episode, hopefully sooner than this time. So with this long summer break. There was some time in between, but I think it was at least a longer episode than usual. So I think we covered the most important stuff for today.
We have to say a lot after 2 months, so I think it's okay.
Great. Good. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you, Adam.
And see you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How mature is your organization when it comes to integration topics? Find out for free with our integration maturity assessment at wint.co/IMA. That's WHINT.co/IMA. In case you want to take control of your integration landscape to increase transparency and automate your integration quality processes, please schedule a call at wint.co/contact. If you enjoyed the content, please like and subscribe to our podcast. See you next time.